Thursday. We are one day away from a Friday, which is really the greatest day of the week. Warmer or cooler weather out there today. Felt a little better getting into your car this morning instead of walking out into a just choking blanket of heat.
Felt good last night. You could start to kind of feel the humidity dissipate and it start to kind of cool down a little bit out there last night. So hopefully we're in the area now of kind of maybe it broke a little bit because I looked at the 10-day forecast, not much over in the 80s for the next 10 days. So hopefully we get a little bit of a break. And I was watching a video from a camp with Kareem Hunt yesterday. And he's talking about the heat and how hot it was and, you know, all that. I'm thinking about those guys up there. I'm like, God, I hope this is the last time they've got to deal with that. He goes, this is so hot. I've never had to put water on my legs before to cool them off. And I'm like, damn, that's how hot it was up there at training camp the other day. Woo!
Yeah, it's going to feel very nice up there in St. Joe today. And don't forget, this weekend, Mac and I'll do a show on Saturday from 9 to noon.
Woo!
And then Mac will be solo from 9 to 11 on Sunday.
Yes. You get Binkley on Sunday, talk a little football.
We'll have some Bink. Yeah, we'll have some Bink action on Sunday, 9 to 11:30. It's exciting.
Breaking camp with Jay Binkley.
Mm-hmm.
And then your fantasy football show starts a week from what, this Sunday?
August 10th.
There you go.
August 10th, 17th, 24th. We're off Labor Day weekend. But yeah, I'll get you all your draft strategies you need to know as you gear up.
J.J. McCarthy, top 10 fantasy quarterback.
I know.
Wait. Are you being serious?
Yeah, a lot
top
of people
10
like
fantasy quarterback. All right, let's talk through this real fast.
Okay.
That's belief in the head coach. I mean, but even with Justin Jefferson being banged up, you know, like, I don't know. But that to me right there screams the fantasy world is in love with Kevin O'Connell. And rightfully so. Look, he's put together, this is a big year for Kevin O'Connell, right? He can go one of two ways. He can just be another guy, or if J.J. McCarthy plays well and they get double-digit wins and they find themselves in the playoffs, Kevin O'Connell immediately becomes a top-five coach in the NFL.
He's the truth.
And absolutely he is. And I don't think there is any arguing with that. If they go to the playoffs this year and he does it again with J.J. McCarthy, he did it with Sam Darnold, he did it with Kirk Cousins, if he takes this guy to the playoffs this year, you cannot exclude Kevin O'Connell from top-five coach conversation in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. And then you have the Comeback Player of the Year Award nominee, J.J. McCarthy, as well.
What's he coming back? He hasn't played.
He's got hurt.
But you can't have a. You know what are we coming back from? There's no baseline here. Yeah. So baseline.
I don't make the rules.
I know, but I mean, there's no baseline.
Dusty.
But if he's one of the top odds for that, and he's one of the top 10 fantasy quarterbacks out there, again, more of a tribute to what people think of Kevin O'Connell. So I'm interested to see how he coaches that team this year. That's gonna be a cool case study this year. I watch a lot of Minnesota. I think,
especially with Jordan Addison being suspended for 3 games.
Yeah. He'll be suspended. Exactly. It's like, okay, J.J. and T.J. Hockenson, here we go.
Yeah.
if Justin Jefferson ain't out there.
T.J. Hockenson, big sleeper tight end this year in the draft. Even though he's a big name at tight end, but I think a lot of people forget about him because they go for the Laportas, the Kelseys, the Bowers, the guys like that. You think about what Hockenson could be in the first 3 weeks of the season.
Dynamite.
Especially when you got basically a rookie quarterback that needs a big target. Hey, who's that? Boom. All right.
Check down, bang.
I think Viking fans are excited about him, too. I saw a Viking fan driving around town a couple weeks ago, and the license plate was a Kansas license plate, and it was JJ2JJ, and it had a Viking plate frame around it. And I'm like, I really like that. Like that's really cool.
You're
buying in. And again, you're buying in because you believe in your coach. And I don't know anything about, you know, J.J. McCarthy or how he's going to play this year. But man, a lot of people are falling in love. And again, it's a tribute to Kevin O'Connell right now, man.
How long until he gets comped to Joe Burrow?
Jeez.
We're going to see it. They look similar.
They have a similar playing style.
But I don't think J.J. McCarthy
is as cutthroat as
Joe Burrow is, right? Like, you look at Joe Burrow, that guy's an ice-cold, like, witch. I don't get that same feeling from J.J. McCarthy.
Not yet. But Burrow's got Chase. J.J.'s got J.J. Both kind of look similar. Both kind of, you know, swaggy.
They play Joe Burrow week 3.
Oh, okay. So there it is. Week 3.
Week 3. There you go.
Yeah. Hey, we'd be remiss real fast before we get into some of this other stuff. This Zap Licky got cut yesterday, I guess.
Oh, man.
I mean, I know it's a sad day for all of us here on the show. We were making a big deal out of this guy yesterday.
Our guy, man.
But we got to pour a little out for I don't know your first name, Zap Licky, the backup punter that was cut by the Chiefs yesterday. Very sad day.
Very sad.
I don't know. I guess I was more sad that Ariza won the job that easily. How bad was this Zap Licky guy?
He was my guy. You know, everybody's got their camp, darling.
Yeah.
Zap Licky was my guy.
Mine's Josh Simmons.
Yeah. That's nice. Really stepping out of the line.
Well, I mean, we know he's probably going to be pretty good. It's better than having Jake Bringingstool.
Mm.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
I really was happy like he would have gotten a chance in a game.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, Matt Araiza, the God, you're not God. He's going to punt a ball 75 yards out of the end zone.
That's right.
For a net of 10 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Zaplicky might have been able to, you know, hit that little corner at the five.
You never know.
And now we will be sad today because Zaplicky is not going to be on this roster.
Mm-hmm. Araiza probably went home yesterday, took a big sigh of relief knowing he doesn't have any competition anymore.
I wonder if Araiza went to his locker after the word and just says, "You don't mess with God. I am the punting God. You are just a Zaplicky out of here." So, see you later, Mr. Zaplicky.
BBL Stinky.
Yeah.
Hardly knew you, man. I wonder if he's going to catch on with another team.
100%, and we will follow that young man's career until the day I die.
We'll get him on.
Do we know his first name?
Eddie.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Eddie.
Okay, I was going to go with Hunter.
Big Ed.
I like that, too.
Hunter Zaplicky. His name is Ed.
Yeah, Eddie.
Eddie Zaplicky. That fits too.
Yeah,
yeah. I think I grew up with an Eddie Zaplicky.
Like, how cool would a Zaplicky jersey be in 10 years from now? Somebody goes, "Who's that?
What number was he?"
Zero now.
Yeah, I know. Right, like, what number do you get if you're getting a Zaplicky jersey at dash?
Yeah, you got it.
It's just an asterisk. Just Zaplicky. Speaking of careers that we have followed, at one point this guy was, I don't know, the best player in the NBA for like a year.
I don't know about that, but he was really good.
He was top three.
He was great.
One of the best shooters. No pun intended.
Great score.
Yeah. Gilbert Arenas, at one point in his career, there's a gun in a duffel bag in his locker. Now his locker is probably going to have bars surrounding it.
Did you see his jail release video yesterday?
Not good.
Dancing when you're being released from jail? Like, not a good look,
jeez,
bro.
I mean, if I was getting released from jail, I'd probably do a cartwheel and I can't even do one.
He's not getting like, it's not over. It's just beginning
for him.
It's not a good look.
No.
Like, you do that after you get, you know, acquitted of something. Like, you know, on Seinfeld when they let Kramer out and all those, like you got acquitted of something. You can go ahead and do your thing. This guy's got to go, like, to trial now, and there's a big federal case against this gentleman. Probably not worth dancing when you get out of jail for that one.
Yeah, Gilbert Arenas was accused of operating illegal gambling businesses at his Encino home. Great movie, Encino Man. Shout out Brendan Fraser. But this is the report via ABC on Gilbert Arenas.
But what federal prosecutors are alleging is that he has been running this high-level illegal poker operation out of a home in the Encino area of L.A., and not just having a couple of buddies come by and play poker, but that this was a very well-planned-out, well-organized operation with five other co-conspirators involved in this, including a member of an Israeli transnational crime group, according to federal prosecutors. But they say that this was something where they had hired women who would help out in the operation and give what they call companionship to those who were playing in the game, that they had armed security guards, that they had chefs that were hired for all of these, and that a lot of money was involved. They had security guards to make sure the wrong people weren't getting into all of this. They had a rake, a fee, the house charges. So they say this was well organized. All were arrested today, a number of agencies involved. Arenas was arrested today as well, facing charges that, if convicted, everybody involved could get 5 years in federal prison.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's not good. And not a good look
just
for
there
Mr.
For companionship.
Gilbert Arenas. Yeah,
just
right.
To help.
So now you've got that angle, too, which I had
lost
no idea.
$10,000 on poker. Come here, Mr. Arenas.
Yeah,
there's
right.
There's a back room.
Rough.
Yeah. So not only are you running an illegal poker ring, you have ladies there for companionship as well. And so I'm sure there's going to be a lot that's going to be made, obviously, with that angle of things. So Gilbert Arenas is facing a lot right now. That's why I just don't think getting out of jail last night is worthy of dancing down the LAPD steps. But, hey, that you do you. I mean, that's fine. There's a lot of pendings here for Mr. Arenas right now. Kind of reminded me of the movie Molly's Game. I don't know if you guys saw that. And it was from Molly Bloom. She was a skier out in Colorado. And her brother was Orlando Bloom, right? And so she got into skiing and was doing all that and I guess got injured and then needed something to do and started this poker ring. And it ended up being huge, huge, huge poker games with big time celebrities and all this stuff. And eventually there were some Russians involved as well with the Russian mob, I guess. And it all ended up, it's a great movie. And it all ended up getting busted up and, you know, they did some time and whatnot. But that's exactly what this reminded me of, like a real life Molly's Game. But Molly's Game was a real life. So this is kind of like, this has been done before. People have gotten busted. People have done jail time for this. learn from other people's mistakes and don't do this kind of stuff. I mean, that's just kind of where it is.
Me.
Yeah, right. Exactly, though. But that's the problem with this is Gilbert Arenas, who, in case you're scoring at home, admitted to running 60 red lights in 4 months and got away with every one of them because he kept his dealer plates on the car so nobody could see who he was.
Smart.
He was arrested in 2013 for illegal fireworks by the LAPD.
Ow.
So he's not exactly, you know, worried about getting caught in any of this. The athletes sometimes just push the limit because that's what they do their whole lives. They're just constantly pushing the limit and they don't think anything applies to them. And then, you know, the teams just acquiesce and do everything for these athletes and they find themselves in this trouble. And now Gilbert Arenas is in some serious trouble for this alleged illegal gambling ring that he has going on there.
The way it got busted, and I know Bob said, have you seen the movie Blow with Johnny Depp?
Yes.
Like, the way this got busted is like the way the movie ends, when he goes to that one last like meeting and they're all in the room and he's sitting there and all of a sudden he just like looks around and he's like, oh shoot, and they all, like, the SWAT comes in. I feel like that's how this happened.
It's always that one last time. Yep. Right. It's always that final
do it,
right? Yeah,
but you do it because you can't stop the urge,
right?
And then you get there and you're like, this looks like that's it. I'm screwed.
You're screwed. Yeah. And so, I mean, Gilbert Arenas has got an uphill battle here, man. I mean, this is gonna be fun. I'm gonna be honest with you, fun to watch this whole trial play out and see ultimately what happens or if they settle beforehand. But this is going to be one, man. This is a warning. Don't run an illegal poker game. They'll eventually get you, especially at these stakes.
So tonight, you were reminded earlier that is the Hall of Fame game, Detroit versus the Chadges.
It's today.
Better believe it. If worms had arms, then birds would hate their machine guns. But that means that this year is in. The Hall of Fame members will be in this year. Next year's slate, oh boy, they've got to do some picking here.
Well, this is, I think for me, I'm looking at this list and we know all these names. Doesn't mean they're a Hall of Famer because we know the names on the list. And that's what I like about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. They're whittling down process. It's an intense process that these guys go through. And so, I mean,
the top four on this list are surefire Hall of Famers.
Probably. Yeah.
Probably.
I mean, Jason Witten to me, I guess.
100% he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's one for me that I'll always be wrong on. You know, he just doesn't do anything for me. But that's just me, again.
Right.
You know, everybody can have their opinion. He's just one of those guys for me. I'm like, I'm sure he is a Hall of Famer, but for me, he's just never really moved the needle. I don't know why, but he hasn't.
Probably because he played for Dallas.
Probably. Yeah.
Also not a needle move. Like, he didn't have huge plays. He just played for a long time, was really good, was really consistent.
No championships or anything like that and whatnot. No memorable moments. But you're right, played a very, very long time in the NFL. And then went back after he failed as a broadcaster.
He did so bad.
He joins the list along with other names. Drew Brees, surefire.
Yep.
Larry Fitzgerald, absolutely.
Yes.
Frank Gore, going to make it. Then you get to a couple names where you're like, I could be persuaded one way or the other. And one of those names is Philip Rivers.
It's going to be a lot of conversation about Philip Rivers. And quite honestly, that's one of the Hall of Fame guys that I would like to be in the room and hear the conversation about. Not many of these dudes I would, because it could be very boring. And sometimes they go for hours and hours and hours and hours of debating about these guys.
Wow.
The Philip Rivers one is one that I would like to be in the room for and hear his presenter from San Diego explain why Philip Rivers deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. And then I want to hear the debates that go on from all the other 31 guys that are in that room and gals that are in that room that are voters that are determining whether or not Philip Rivers goes in. Because I think Philip Rivers is a great case study, test study, if you will, for does a quarterback need championships to get into the Hall of Fame? Mm. We've been told for the last, 20-some years, it's all about those Super Bowl championships. You take Philip Rivers' numbers and put them up there, they're Hall of Fame-type numbers. But the cat has no postseason success whatsoever. And so does that factor in? I think it's going to be very interesting to see going forward. If he becomes a first ballot Hall of Famer and doesn't have any Super Bowl championships, then maybe we don't need to continue to talk about Super Bowl championships for the way that we judge quarterbacks. That's why I think this one is very interesting.
Nick's Breeze has a Super Bowl, but that's it. Yep. Fitzgerald played in a Super Bowl, didn't win it.
But he's not a quarterback.
No. Frank Gore just played forever. He played from the time that I was born until the time Mac was born until the time we were both in our 20s. And now his son's playing.
Yeah.
The other name that's kind of complicated, which we'll have some conversations as well, is Julian Edelman. I don't think he gets in, but
Really?
I don't. But when you talk about what his numbers are. He's like the opposite conversation of Phillip Rivers, a guy that had good regular seasons, but in the postseason, Julian Edelman was insane.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it was
kind of a Derek Jeter type of player, you
little
know?
Bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. But Jeter was good in the regular season, but always raised his level in the postseason.
Yeah. And Julian Edelman was one of those. You think he gets in, Mac?
I do because of the postseason numbers, because he was so historic in the post, and because he was on a team that was in the postseason a lot. He had a lot of opportunity.
He won a Super Bowl MVP, didn't he?
Did he?
Because didn't he win the MVP and then that girl did a Snapchat like the next morning? It's like, just slept with Edelman, no lie. And he's like passed out in the bed and she's like taking a picture with
him. Yeah, I think in their last Super Bowl. Let me look at it. Yeah, I think in their, here in the award first for New Patriots, 13-3 victory over the Rams. Yep, 10 receptions, 140 yards.
Yeah.
In a game that had no offense, he was the offense.
And that's the year that he definitely touched the football, and they said he didn't, and it wasn't a fumble on a punt and an arrowhead, and the Chiefs end up losing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where it's like at, like Super Bowl MVP, historic postseason numbers, regular season, mid.
That's
crazy, but like decent.
3,000 yard seasons, that's it.
Yeah.
1,000, how many years did he play?
11?
Like I'd say 10 or 11.
11 years. That long in the NFL?
Yeah. It's 1,100. It's not 14. It's two 1,100 yard years and then 1,000 yard year.
Yeah, he did play with a team that had Rob Gronkowski, who was taking a lot of targets away from a lot of people.
Sure,
but
sure.
But again, it's one of those conversations, because the other names on the list, I don't think, like Dez Bryant, Todd Gurley, had one of the best three-year runs of all time. LeSean
McCoy. Holmes should be in the Hall of Fame before any of these running backs, by the way.
Yeah,
and I've had the numbers on Priest, and I've lost them over the years about where he could. His numbers and Terrell Davis's numbers are identical. Terrell Davis has the Super Bowls and was able to get in because he had that national exposure. But Priest Holmes's numbers are as good as any running back that is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame right now.
Jamaal Charles should be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I think you could make a case for that.
He leads the all-time running back with yards per carry at 5.2.
Yeah, you can make a case for Jamaal Charles. But again, no postseason success. I know it's a running back, but I mean, I guess that's what your negative is with Jamaal Charles. I don't know.
A name we'd love to see get into the Hall of Fame. Alex Smith is on this list.
Interesting,
Won't get in, but I would love to see him get in. But there's just nothing there to really kind of put him there. He's just kind of one of those, like, I guess he's like in the hall of okay fame. Like he rebranded the Chiefs. Yeah. He had the whole historic injury, came back from it, comeback player of the year and all that. Super good dude. Really good at broadcasting or being on TV. But just a good name to have on there that won't get in, but it's a guy that you always root for.
He is. And again, that kind of stuff doesn't make you a Hall of Famer. I think Alex Smith will be more remembered, quite honestly, in the next decade or so for helping Patrick Mahomes become a superstar than anything he did on the field. I mean, when you start to list like Alex Smith and what you will remember Alex Smith for, obviously, we'll remember him for flipping the script like Dusty talked about. Nationally, they'll remember him for being the mentor to Patrick Mahomes and then the leg injury that he was able to battle back from and how gruesome that thing was. You don't really remember much about what Alex Smith did on the field. And you also remember this guy was also benched for Colin Kaepernick at one point in time, too. And so, Hall of Famer, no. Hall of Really Good, probably. But he'll be, at the end of the day, when people say Alex Smith, we go, oh, that was the dude who mentored Patrick Mahomes.
For the text on Eli Manning is one of the worst quarterbacks to ever win two Super Bowls. Peyton's frankly overrated, too. We move on to what I think Baker Mayfield had to say, because I love this audio. He was on with the New Heights guy. We talked about this yesterday. That's why I want to bring it up today before we go to break. Baker Mayfield found a home in Tampa Bay. Why did he find a home in Tampa Bay? This is why.
You know, this isn't to the other teams and franchises.
No, man, you already know. You already know.
But,
man, you got to do
it. But like when you step in and your GM and your head coach say, hey, just be you.
Yeah.
After I've been told at every stop and everywhere I go, hey, you need to tone it down a little bit. You need to be a franchise quarterback. It's just not who I am. Like, I wear my emotions on my sleeves. We've hung out. You guys know me. I'm going to talk shit. I'm going to do whatever.
Well, we can't have that.
But when it's time to turn the lights on and go do something, I'm going to do it. So when I stepped into the building, they all told me to just be myself. And so it's been, not to say like comfortable, but it's felt like home since the beginning. And
that's
as a quarterback that's been through a little bit of a journey, you can't ask for anything else.
And I think that's why it works. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's worked with Mahomes, because you have your trust in your GM. I think that's why it works with Roseman and Jalen Hurts. Like, hey, people are going to talk bad about you. They're going to say that you're just a game manager. Go out to be yourself. Go run the ball. Who cares? Go throw the ball when you need to. Baker Mayfield's been a great quarterback in Tampa Bay. He was excellent last year. I'm excited to watch him this year. And that audio right there that you hear on the New Heights podcast of him being told by his GM, like, I don't care if you're cocky. go be it. Like, mm-hmm. that's what made you good in Oklahoma. That's what's going to make you good in Tampa Bay. And so far, they're okay with it.
It's funny how Baker Mayfield is using the BU slogan when that was Matt Nagy's slogan in Chicago, and he had it on his play sheet every week, and everybody would make fun of him for that. BU, what is that all about? All this nonsense. But that is truly how you have to be. You can't fake it. They always say fake it till you make it, you know, and whatnot. I don't believe in that. I think it's hard to be a fake. I think it's hard to be a phony. You have to be who you are. And Baker Mayfield talked about that. He goes, I'm not a franchise quarterback. I'm not the guy that's going to be in a suit, and I'm not the guy that's going to be up there being the face of your franchise. That's not the type of guy that I am. If that's the type of guy you're looking for, then you've got the wrong quarterback. But if you want somebody who's going to put it all out there and be there for his teammates and try to win at all costs and sacrifice everything, then I'm your guy. I'm just not your buttoned up, wear a suit and tie, look good type of guy. I'm just a guy that's going to go out there and play football and help you all win games. And if you're comfortable with that, great. And that's what you need to have. And so I always thought that BU was very important. And Andy Reid stresses that a lot as well. Be yourself. Go out there and have your personality and be you. Because if you try to be somebody else in anything, you're going to fail. You've got to be true to yourself. And right. I'm glad Baker said that. I love that fact that, you know, Tampa's not out there looking for that carbon copy, you know, quarterback that's going to look good in board meetings. They went out there and they got a guy that works for them and their organization.
No doubt about it.